give him a mighty hand of praise and just thank him right now.
I was buried beneath my shame. All my theory, that kind of way, it was my team till I met you. I was breathing, but now. Oh, not alive. All my failures I tried to hide. It was my dream till I met you. You called my name and I ran. Freedom is all that I know. The old man knew, oh, Jesus, when I met you, come on, come on. You called my name, and I ran out of that grave. Sin was heavy, but chains break at the weight of your glory. I needed shelter, I was an orphan. Now you call me a citizen of heaven. I was broken, you were my king.
Today, give him a mighty shout. Come on, put your hands together like this. Say, oh, we win today.
Hallelujah. Jesus, I bring some peace.
Believe that today, I want you to raise a hand to heaven and just begin to say thank you to God for being a good and mighty God. Hallelujah. Come on, praise Him with your words today. Praise Him with your testimony today. He's been good and He's been great. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, come on, sing it.
This one. You are God and you are
oh, hallelujah.
Through it all, my soul will pray.
You are God and you are good. That's right, He is. Come on, let's lift Him again.
Woo! Through so one thing, my.
Good. Always. Always. Circumstances sometimes hard. God, good. Sometimes you'll go through different things and they're difficult, but God is always. I just want to shout it. Maybe my mic's not on, but I'm not sure if you can hear me, but God is always good. Always, always good. Can I just have a couple people just testify a little that He's been good in the hard times and He's good in the bad times. He's just good. He's so good. Amen. Amen. I'd like you to tell about two people. God is good, and then you may be seated. I see part of our family is back. Jeremy, welcome home. You're here back from the military. You've been away, and we're just glad you're in the house. We love our military. Amen? Amen. We do. We do. He's always good. If you're visiting today, I just want to say welcome. Welcome. We're glad that you're in the house. Amen? If you're our guest, we're glad you're here. If you take a contact card, fill it out and put it in the offering. And everybody needs a good church, right? I mean, you need a good church. Yes, you do. So that is right in front of you. I'm sorry. The seat in front of you. Just take it, fill it out, put it in. And we just want to connect with you and let you know some different things that are going on. And there are a lot. And my husband asked me to do this fast, so that means less details, Darcy. So Summer Fast, that starts tomorrow. We're going to do that for 3 days, the whole church. We want you to join the Summer Fast. And then our summer reading, it will be 90 days of reading. And you can text Summer 90 to 313131, and you'll get the verse every week, that the chapter that we're going to be reading. Less is more, Darcy. And then First Wednesday, this is going to be this Wednesday. I can tell you, if you have never been to a First Wednesday, you're missing it. There's just something about being together and connecting, and I promise, just come this Wednesday. this Wednesday at 7 o'clock. It's for the whole family, and you will love it. As the ushers come, I'm going to just tell a few more announcements. Senior adults, they are having a trip, and how many know everybody likes to go somewhere? Darcy likes to go, everybody, but I'm not 55. But if you are 55 or older, we want to invite you. Just sign up at the information center. And then next Sunday morning, we're going to have our baccalaureate service for all of our seniors that will be graduating, or our college graduates. We're just so glad, and we like to celebrate victories. Amen. So you, if you haven't signed up, you can sign up at cchurch11a.info. And that's it. I got them done. That's record for Darcy. And the offering, how many would just say that God is faithful? God is so faithful. I'm so thankful that God is always faithful. I was thinking this morning of how different times, even in our my body, I needed some different things, healings. He was faithful in that. Different times we needed a financial blessing. He was faithful in that. There's never a time that God will not be faithful. There's never. I haven't seen it. If you continue to walk with Jesus, he will be faithful. And how many know that he'll be faithful in your finances? Yes, he will. And we're just so thankful about that. And we're going to show a video after we pray about how God is so faithful. And this is one of our many miracles that are in the house. Amen. So let's pray and ask the Lord to bless the offering. God, we thank you that you are so good. Lord, we're just so thankful for all the great things that you have done and that you've been with us in different times. And we pray, God, that you continue to bless every person here. I just thank you that Charleston Church is faithful in their tithes and their offering. I just thank you, Lord, that when they are faithful in giving what you've asked us to give, that you'll continue to be faithful. It's your word, and we thank you that we always can stand on your word, and you're so good. Bless this service. Today's going to be something. Somebody's going to find you today. And we just already want to thank you. I pray, God, that you just bless every part of this service. In Jesus' name, amen.
I'm a dairy farmer in Garland, and I've been operating a farm for 25 years or so. And on the home farm, there's like about 350 to 90 head most of the time. And last August there, we had a dry summer. I had heard that some of the farms in the area had had to start drilling wells, and we went like 13 weeks before we got any major water. I mean, we get a shower here and there, but you could kick, that's most times last summer. It was not good. The water affects a lot in my business. It affects grass growing, it affects corn, it affects a lot. You know, we use in a, like, you know, 6,000 to 8,000 gallons a day. It would really affect milk production if we didn't have it. And I was kind of had that on the back of my mind all the time, but if you don't go look, then you don't know. So that's kind of the way I looked at it. And till one Saturday night, Mark had drove the cows out, the last bunch of cows out, and he comes back in and he says, "Dad, how come the water tub's flipped upside down in the new barn? There was no water coming through the float." And so we I flipped it over, and I just figured that maybe a pump had gone down or whatever. I looked at the stationary waters, and they were empty too. So I went to the fuse panel, and everything was on. We got a little utility vehicle there that we run around in, and we jumped in that and went down to check the spring. And the spring is like a visible box. It's like 5 feet wide, 4 feet deep, 10 feet long. I could see the pump laying in the bottom of it, and it was empty. I went home, and I didn't sleep very well that night. But I had it all planned out. You know, we have a pond up the road. I could run a line on top of the ground. I own a property across the road that has a well. I could run line on top of the ground through culvert in. I had it all worked out. I had it all planned out. But I don't, that's not what the Lord wanted. This is where the Lord begins to work. So before I turned the cows back into that barn, I went out to make sure the tub was full. You know, I just walked up to the tub. When I looked in that tub, the Lord just says to me, you remember the 10 and the 1? When I think about that, the Holy Spirit just prompted me immediately about the story of the 10 lepers and the one that came back and gave thanks. Stood over that tub, just weeping, thinking about what he had just said to me. And I turned from the water, still thinking about what the Lord said to me. And before I stepped out of that barn, he says, lean not unto your own understanding. And I stopped in the middle of that long barn, and I just wept for a minute. And I said, Lord, what are you doing to me? What are you doing here? I don't understand. So I got back to the barn, and my son Sam, he was done doing what he was doing, and I says, get in the Ranger, we're going to go for a ride. I says, we're going back down that spring that we saw empty last night. And got into the Ranger, and we went down, and we walked up to the open top of that, and it was full. You know, the Lord fixed everything before I even knew it. For myself, I have the confidence in the Lord that he always is ahead of us. He's never behind us. So, you know, I haven't completely done the math on that, but, you know, 6,000 to 8,000 gallons a day for 13 weeks is a lot of water. That's a lot of tankerfuls, and we're still using the spring today. And I'm very thankful, and been more thankful when we get in the midst of trials and we need his strength, because he's with us continuously.
We're going to sing a song this morning called All My Hope. I was thinking about this song this week, and my heart's kind of been in Haiti as we're getting ready to raise money for a church we're building there. And I was thinking about how in Haiti, all their hope has to be in the Lord. They don't have doctors, they don't have lawyers, they don't have banks. All these things are there, but they just don't have a working system. Their hope has to be in the Lord. Sometimes we need to get back to that place where that's all we have is the Lord. Like Carl said in this video, where all our hope is in him. We can make our own plans, we can make our own thoughts, our own visions. But when we get back to the place where all our hope is in Jesus Christ, when all our hope is in the empty cross, the empty tomb, when all our hope is in the one that can exceed our expectations, that's when we'll find everything we need. So as we sing this today, why don't you worship the one who holds all your hopes in his hands?
I've been hailed by the Savior. I fell far from above. I've been down to that river, and I ain't the same. A prodigal returns. And all my hope is in Jesus. Thank God my yesterday's gone, and all my sins are forgiven, and I've been washed by the blood.
I'm no stranger to prison. I've worn shackles and chains, but I'm freed and forgiven. I'm not going back, I'll never be the same.
All my hope is in Jesus. Thank God. is unforgiven, and I've been washed by His blood. There's a kind of thing that just breaks a man. It can break him down to his knees. Oh Lord, I've been broken more than a time or two, but He picked me up, showed me what it means to be a man. Oh, we sing, oh, my hope is in Jesus. Thank God my yesterday's gone. Oh, my sins, they're forgiven, 'cause I've been washed by the blood. That's why I sing, and oh, my hope, it's in Jesus. Thank God my yesterday's gone. Oh, I've been washed by the blood.
Praise God. Let's stand together. Let's stand together. Praise God. Let's stand together. Let's stand together. Let's stand together. And sing, all my hope is in Jesus. Thank you, thank you. My yesterday's gone. All my sins are forgiven. If that's your story, go ahead and begin to praise Him and sing it together. Oh, my hope is in Jesus. Amen.
Thank God
my yesterday's gone, and all my sins washed away, removed from me forever, and I've been washed by. Come on, the Lord's in the house. He ought to be thanked. Sing, oh, my hope is in Jesus. Amen. Thank God every yesterday is gone, and all my sins forgiven. One more time. And let the Lord know that you're grateful for it. Sing, all my hope is in Jesus. I can't do it, but He can. My yesterday's gone. All my sins forgiven. For I've been washed by His blood. Let's give the Lord the great hand clap of praise that He deserves. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Grab your Bibles while you're standing and open them to the book of Zechariah, chapter 3. Zechariah, while you're standing, chapter 3. I want to talk to you this morning before we go into communion and prayer for the sick, that God would touch us today. But in Zechariah chapter 3, verse 1, reads this way. If you would open your Bibles there. And I would encourage you, if you want the notes, you know, I come to the pulpit with notes, but that doesn't mean I always follow them. But if you'd like to know what the intention was at the beginning, you can find them at cchurch11a.info. And that might help you to know what point I am trying to make, if it's coming dry. Zechariah chapter 3. Zechariah is a minister, and it's as if an angel has come to his man cave and has turned on the 70-inch flat-screen television. and there's something for him to see. The satellite signal has picked up a feed from heaven. And the angel lets him see this as a lesson to him on how God makes a hero. We read in verse 1, "Then the angel showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord. The accuser, Satan, was there at the angel's right hand making accusations against Joshua." On the screen, you'll see God, you see an angel, and you see Joshua, and you see Satan. God, angel, Joshua, Satan. And Satan is casting charges, accusing, criticizing Joshua in the presence of God and the angel. Verse 2 reads this way. "And the Lord said to Satan," you know, sometimes you don't have to speak up for yourself, God will. That's even better than Joe Bornstein. "I, the Lord, reject your accusation, Satan. Yes, the Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebukes you. This man is like a burning stick that has been snatched from the fire. The devil is casting embarrassment on the man of God. The man of God has come to God for help. And God said, shut your mouth because I've told you to. And he says, I've chosen this man because I've got a great work for him to do." Praise God. And snatched out of the fire, in essence, because some of you, it sounds like a fortune cookie, and I understand why. But what he's saying is, there's a trouble, there's a problem in Jerusalem coming, and I have destined Joshua to be a hero to bring an answer to a problem. Verse 3, I'm preaching, you don't know it. "Joshua's clothing was filthy as he stood there before the angel." Let's pray. Dear Jesus, please help me. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you. Kurt, if you'd come help me once again, you did a fantastic job last Sunday. If you took your Dramamine, you're in good shape. I need your help today, if you would come. All right? I need an angel. Come on, Jared, you want to be an angel? Put this on, would you? Yeah, there's only two holes. You're going to have to go through this. Are you ready? Your hair's going to look real good by the time I'm done with you today.
Find a hole.
You're coming. You're getting closer. There you go. Yeah. Whew.
Wow.
I guess we should have come right on up here. No, come over here. Jamel wants to get a good look at you. She likes a good-looking man. And the Bible says, "Come on, Matt. You be God." So here's God. Here's Joshua. Here's the angel, and I need a devil. Come on, Dennis. The angel of white. Is it all right if I just get to it today? I just got that. I'm just a little short today. And the devil is throwing accusations against Joshua. Now, I'm going to try to explain the picture as it really is. You've got to admire Joshua because when he's in his filthiness, he comes to God. Now, Joshua, you got to realize what his job is. He's a priest. And just like you have a work uniform that helps you do your job, he has a work uniform to do his job. But part of the requirements for his work uniform is that it must be clean. And so when he comes into the presence of God with a filthy garment, it is one, because he had gotten himself dirty, or two, somebody else got him dirty. Interpretation, he either got himself into sin or somebody committed sin against him. And he could not hide it in the presence of God. But you've got to admire the fact that Joshua knew God strong enough that he realized, if I'm ever going to get clean, I can't do it myself. I've got to come into the presence of God. You got to admire that. And my prayer for this church is that we not be a church fit for people to be comfortable in their compromise. But my prayer for this church is also so that when people know that they've compromised, people know that they've sinned, when people have been sinned against, that when they think, how am I going to get clean, they'll think Charleston Church, because that's a place that will let you come in one way, but the Holy Ghost will convict you to say, I don't have to leave the same way I came in. How many want to be clean? Dead religion, spiritless preaching, no anointing on the worship, no compassion amongst the people. Churches are being formed even around us in the state of Maine, fit to make people stay comfortable in compromise. But I would suggest to you today, the Holy Spirit has called us and every church to lift the standard and say, you not only can come into the presence of God one way, but you can leave a totally other way. While he comes into the presence of God, don't you know the devil hates that? The devil's happy with you staying home. The devil's happy with you staying out of God's church, because he knows with his excuses he can keep you dirty. Do I have to go to church to go to heaven? No, but you need to go to church to stay clean. That was good preaching right there. I don't know where it came from, but that's not in the notes. You say, you mean I have to go to church to, you mean the church is salvation? No, the church is accountability. The church is where the truth is preached unbiased and with a lot of love and with a lot of concern, so that we can just say, you know what, I see you drifting. It's time to start drifting back. And the devil sees this and he starts throwing accusations. He's dirty, filthy, putrid. In the presence of God, the devil loves to use shame. Watch. All right. Come on, Ron. Would you help me? All right. Come on, Ron. Help me. Dakota, come on, man. I need your help. I'm going to get everybody on the platform before I'm done, so you better not fall asleep. Every time we sin, your sin. Every time we invite sin into our lives, sin turns around and invites shame. We can get rid of the sin. We can get rid of the sin and still be left with the shame. That's called Memorex, and I'm rewinding the tape. Go. When we invite sin, invite him. Sin invites shame. Invite him. Okay, let's try it again. Go back. Am I speaking in tongues? When we invite sin, sin invites shame. Ah. And so if we tell sin to go, how many know shame will stay? And what the devil is doing is making sure shame has an opportunity to stay. Now again, this is either something you've done, but how many know there's a shame that people can carry when something's been done to them? And so shame keeps coming back. Go. Sin comes, brings the shame. Sin goes, shame remains, and the devil's got something to work with. And it's Sunday after Sunday, work after work. You're trying to do yourself. You're trying to clean yourself up. You're trying to be good. You're trying to behave. You just try. But the problem is, shame is a close cousin to conviction. And the problem with shame is that shame... Go back. Sin, when invited, will tell you it's no big deal. But when shame comes in, says that's the worst thing I've ever seen done. Go back. When sin is invited in, it says this is a small thing. But when shame comes in, it says this is a big thing. Go back. When sin comes in, it'll say nobody will know. But when shame comes in, it says everybody knows. When sin comes in, it says you have permission. But when shame comes in, it says all you get is condemnation. You all got it yet? Because some of you could get victory over what you've been struggling with years. You can get victory right now if you get this point. It's the difference. It's what shame will come in and create. Go. Sin, invited, will minimize it, but shame will exaggerate it. Do you get it yet? Because they're getting dizzy. You can tell sin to go, but shame stays. And the devil loves it, and he come on, he's partners. He's paying shame to stick with you. Hang in there. Hang. He does everything he can. But here's the beauty. All that the enemy does is that. But God instead steps in and says, one, I'll speak for you. Two, you don't have any power. And three, go to verse 4. Go to verse 4. Watch this. I'll take off your filthy clothes and I'll put on some clean clothes. Now the Bible says that God told the angel, while the devil is accusing, this is what God is doing. He's changing. Angel, the Lord said, angel, take those dirty clothes off him. Quick, quick, get those dirty clothes off him. We are a holiness church. Oh yeah, now dress him. Come on, dress him. Dress him. Dress him. Come on, dress him. This is what the devil wants to take around and wave around and say, this is what you've done. This is where you went. This is who you were. This is what I remember what you did last summer. And you can be in church 10 weeks, 10 years, or 30 years. But as long as the devil's got it, he'll wave it like a flag. But you don't have to worry about it because God is not carrying that anymore. He's giving you clean start. You are forgiven. You are redeemed. God didn't tell you to wash your clothes. God said, I already got some clean clothes for you to put on. When I went to the cross and I was nailed there and I was buried, did you see that? God took your, where'd the dirty clothes? God took them so you could have clean clothes to wear. He took them. Oh, some of your heads are full of pus. I've never heard that before. But your head is so full of pus. Because you think, well, who do they think they are? They think what God thinks. They're the righteousness of God. They're the forgiven. They're the first begotten of God. They are children of a king who loves and forgives. Who do you think you are? I'm a child of the king. Who do you think you are? Get that pus out of your head and get back in the word. Okay, that was fun to say. I'm not going to say it anymore. You look good. See, conviction, take that off. I can't, you take it now. See, conviction, that's how God works. You're God. You forgot? Yeah, I know. This is how shame works. Watch this. It's the difference between condemnation and conviction. Condemnation works this way. Condemnation says what's wrong with you. Conviction says what's right with you. Conviction says who you are. I mean, condemnation says who you are. Conviction says who God says you are. Damnation says what's wrong. Conviction says what's right. You got that? Because some of you, your memories are lingering about the old because you just feel condemned. You're just bringing all this stuff in. And the problem with condemnation is that you'll change today and slip right back into that old stuff tomorrow. Because nobody sticks with what they're condemned to do right. People only stick with what they're convicted to do right. We can shame you into ushering today, but I highly doubt you'll usher next week. Until you get convicted to do the right thing, you'll repeatedly practice the wrong thing. But come on, somebody. How many know the Holy Ghost is a good convictor? Praise God. I said the Holy Ghost. Nobody, see, some of you, I can tell right now, you don't want anybody to think you got flesh. But the way you're fighting it tells me you do. And you're trying to hide behind the computer. You're trying to hide behind the excuses. But I'm here to tell you, let the Holy Spirit convict you that you are the righteousness of Christ and you will not dabble in sin anymore. You will say, I will no longer yield my flesh to sin nature. I will yield my flesh to the divine nature of God. If you can sin, then you can do righteousness. Did you hear that? How many of you know you have the capacity to sin? Because of your past. How many of you can prove sin is a possibility for me? Still some don't raise their hands. If Jesus said you could go to heaven and raise your hand, you'd say, well, I won't see you there. If you have the capacity to sin, then you have the capacity to do righteousness. But here's something even better. Verse 5. Then I said... Now, this is Zechariah. And Zechariah begins to get up and preach. Now, all of this stuff's been God and the angels and the devil. But Zechariah said, not only clean, change his clothes, but put on a new hat. Turn around. This message is sponsored by Dovetail Bat. Watch this. This is really, if you read it too quick, you'll miss it. So far, the devil's been talking. So far, God's been talking. So far, the angel's been busy. So far, sin has been defeated. But then all of a sudden, somebody that's not in the scene, Zechariah, speaks up. Somehow he can speak through his television. He said, don't only just change his clothes, change his hat. Give him a hat. Give him a hat. Why? Zechariah speaks to him as a prophet, saying, God has more for you than just saving you and cleaning you. He's got some things that he wants to say to you to give you direction on how to be a hero in this thing. What he's saying is, don't be satisfied with just being clean. The issue here is, come on, musicians, the issue at this is that Joshua was clean enough to be saved, but not clean enough to save. Did y'all check out? Can you hang in there with me for a few more minutes? How many can hang with me for about 3 or 4 more minutes? How many can hang in there? You got the stamina? How many of you want to make a difference? You will make a difference when you begin to change. But please tune in, whether you agree with it or disagree with it. The only people that save people are people who are willing to change. And there are a bunch of people in churches, and I want that not to happen here, but they're saved enough to go to church, but they're not saved enough to win a soul. They're clean enough to be in God's presence, but not clean enough to help somebody else get clean. They're clean enough to be saved, but not clean enough for their kids to want to be saved. They're clean enough to go to church, but they're not clean enough for their kids. They got enough spirit to be saved, but not enough spirit so their kids want to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. Ladies and gentlemen, I would beg of you, be so filled with the fire of the Holy Spirit so that God changes every wrong way in you. Why? Because when you catch on fire, everybody you get in contact with catches on fire. Oh, come on. Come on. Come on. We need a baptism of the Holy Ghost with fire in this church. Okay. So let's do some re-identification. Let's just say, go to verse, get shoulder to shoulder here. We're all friends now. You're all saved. Verse 6. The angel of the Lord spoke very solemnly to Joshua and said, verse 7. Watch this. This is what the Lord of Heaven's army says. If you follow my ways and serve me, I'll give you authority over my temple and his courtyards. I will let you walk among these others that are standing here. Verse 8. Listen to me, Joshua, the high priest, and all you other priests, you are symbols of things to come. Lock arms. Forget what I told you these guys were before. And now I tell you they're all prophets. If we look at the TV screen of what he sees, it says that Joshua's standing there with a bunch of other prophets. And he says, the same thing I'm doing in you is going to happen in you, in you, in you. You're still condemned, aren't you? Put the garment down. You're saved. Watch this. And God is saying, when you come out, guess what? Walk down those steps. Everybody connected to you is coming out. Go, 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 faster. Up here, up here. Your kids are coming out. Your spouse is coming out. Your siblings are coming out. Your parents are coming out. Your co-workers coming out. Your boss is coming out. Go, 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 go. Why? Everybody that's connected. The freedom that you have is the freedom they get. Come on, somebody. You're a hero. When you get saved, somebody else gets saved. When you get free, somebody else gets free. When you get baptized, somebody else gets baptized. It's like fire. Shut up in my bones. Stop. But if you get defeated, when you get defeated, everybody connected to you is defeated. I tell you it in the name of Jesus, you can't afford to stay bound. You can't afford to stay sick. You can't afford to stay sorrowful. You can't afford to stay in depression. You need to take off those heavy bands and begin to get connected with the people again, because victory is in their house when victory gets in your house. And the more victory that's in this church house, the more victory gets in your house, and the more victory gets in your house, the more victory gets in your community. Verse 9. Watch. And I will remove the sins of this land in a single day. So I'm done. I'm done. Wait a minute. When we first saw Joshua, come on over here. When we first met Joshua, was he not dirty? Was he not dirty? Was he not with sin? But God took the sin. Watch. He says, the thing I did for you is the very same thing I'm going to do for the land. Come on. Anybody ever been healed? Raise your hand. Then you ought to begin to proclaim your healing, because somebody else needs what you got. Anybody here ever been freed from addiction? Raise your hand. You better tell what you got free from, because somebody else needs to get what you got. In fact, if you've been healed, you ought to begin to pray for people to get healed. If you've been freed, you ought to pray for people to get free. If you ever had your marriage put back together, pray for people whose marriages are damaged. If you've ever been depressed but you got free, pray for people who've been depressed. Because if God can do it for you, He can do it for anybody. Anybody. Praise God. I'm just letting the Holy Ghost now talk. I got to shut up for a minute. Everybody that wants to be a hero, lift two hands to God and say, Lord, give me a fresh anointing to be a hero. I'm not afraid of the fire. Come on. I'm not afraid to run into the problem. I'm not afraid to run out to help the people. I'm not afraid of the devil's attacks. I'm not afraid of what's going on in people's lives, because I've been healed to heal. I've been saved to save. I've been cleansed to clean. I've been delivered to deliver. I've been freed to bring freedom in the name of Jesus. Come on, begin to pray. Lord, give me supernatural strength. Lord, with every hand raised, baptize them in the Holy Ghost, I pray, with the evidence of praying in a heavenly language. I pray, God, that they'll be heroes ignited with a fire from one end of this auditorium to the other, from the platform to the balcony, from Charleston out through the internet. Oh, Lord, let there be a fire in the center part of Maine, so that we begin to see signs and wonders, marriages restored, children's lives put back together. Miracles happen on a daily basis, as the New Testament have displayed. Let it happen one more time. In Jesus' name, come on, give God thanks and honor for the privilege to be a hero. In Jesus' name. It starts with a relationship with Christ. If you're here today, you've never publicly asked Christ to forgive you of your sins, or you have drifted from Him, today is the day, without excuse, to say, I'm done with that life. I'm ready to start a new life with God. I admit I'm a sinner. I believe Jesus died for me and rose from the grave. And I want to publicly say that I am a child of God. If that's you today, whether you've never prayed that prayer or you've drifted from Him, the Spirit of God is so strong and He's here on your behalf. You say, when you pray that prayer, I want to be with you on that. Raise your hand up nice and high, unashamedly. Say, when you pray that prayer, I'm going to join you. I want to be in that number. I want to be one of those people that say, I will receive Jesus as my Savior. You say, I look around, I see all these people have been set free. I want to be set free. There are some young people that you've slid away from God. Your own decisions have taken you to a place where you lack the peace. You lack the prayer life. You lack the holiness. You're beginning to realize that the temptation of sin is beautiful at the front end. But on the back end, you realize it gives all so much pain and nothing of what it promised. But you say, today I'm ready to start serving God completely, 100%. If that's you, just raise your hand up nice and high and say, that's me. That's me. God bless you, young lady. Who else? Is there anybody else here in the balcony, on the main floor? May the Holy Spirit reach up to you and draw you by His love and His compassion for you. Anyone else? Anyone else? I believe God would leave 99 to find one sheep. How about you? Ma'am, can I pray with you? Can I pray with you? I saw you raise your hand. Can I pray with you? You don't even have to stand. I'll come to you. What's your name? Janice. Let's pray this way. Come on, let's everybody pray with Janice right now. Dear Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for me. Please forgive me from all my sins. I'm ready for a new beginning. I'm ready for a new start. I came in this place one way. I'm going out another. I confess that you are my Lord, my Savior, my everything. Fill me with your Spirit that I may serve you and live the way you've saved me to live. You've saved me to reach others. So give me that strength today in Jesus' name. Amen. Ooh, you're sitting in the right row. You're sitting with a man who's got the Bible that can help you. All right? Come on, let's give God thanks for what He's done for Janice here today. All my hope is in Jesus. All my yesterday's gone. All my sins are forgiven. I've been washed. While the board members come, I think you ought to begin to sing. Well, all my hope is in Jesus. And oh God, my yesterday's gone. All my sins forgiven. And I've been washed. Every person that's been washed, come on, stand together and sing. All my hope is in
Jesus. All my yesterday's gone. All my sins are forgiven. I've been washed by the blood. My yesterday's gone. All my sins are forgiven. I've been washed by the blood. All my hope is in Jesus. Thank God my yesterday.
Come on, let's lift our voice and begin to thank God. All the shame is gone. All the condemnation over. Washed by the blood of Jesus.
All my sins are forgiven.
Thank God for that today.
All
right. You folks know what to do. Come right this way. You folks come right this way. You folks come right into the aisle. Come this way. The row in front of you will come. And you folks right here. Yep.
Thank God my yesterday's
gone. That's good. All right, good, good. Thank you now. We're coming to the balcony. They're coming to you, all right?
I've been washed by the
I am all you need. I'm the Lamb. We cry worthy.
going to sing that to the Lamb in heaven. Let's do it on the planet.
We cry worthy.
Just see what God would do.
We cry worthy.
If you're properly exalted.
We cry worthy is the Lamb of God. We cry worthy. We cry worthy. We cry worthy is the Lamb of God.
He's the Lamb that was slain.
Your blood washes us clean. You're the pure sacrifice. Let my life give you life.
Take that cracker that represents the body of Christ. Publicly, publicly, he died for every one of us today. I'm thankful that on that body, please hear what I want to tell you. You know, we talk about your sin was just removed. Your sin was removed from you, but it had to go somewhere. You say it doesn't seem right for just my sins to just be forgiven me. Oh, it's right. The judgment for those sins happened. They just happened to Jesus and not you. Imagine being sentenced to a life sentence in prison. And somebody stepped in and said, I'll serve it for you. How many of you would get a little happy about that? I mean, you wouldn't be real religious, would you? Well, I'm going to be praying proper. No, sir, you'd rejoice. You'd leap. You'd do anything for that person. I'm going to tell you, Jesus didn't free you from a life sentence on earth. He freed you from an eternal sentence in hell. How many think he deserves even more praise for that? Even more glory for that? So take that cracker that represents the body of Christ. We honor him today by eating that. Go ahead and eat it all. Praise God. Take that cup if you would. The blood of Jesus shed brings us the new covenant. We believe today that the body of Christ took away our sins, but the cup represents a brand new covenant, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the power of God, the power to heal, set free, and deliver. How many believe that power is just the same today as it ever has been before? Take and drink it all in Jesus' name. I think it would be appropriate, as they play quietly, you just lift up your voice to God. And begin to thank him for all he's done for you. And declare your freedom today in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray for every damaged person here from the past. There is instantaneous healing available to every man and to every woman. To every mother and to every father. To every teenager, teenage boy, teenage girl. For everyone in this place today. I desire, Lord, for you to bear witness with them that the shame is gone. Hallelujah. We are therefore under no condemnation. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Somebody say a good amen. Somebody say a good amen. Tarry with me for just a moment. I want every person that needs God to touch your body, to heal you, to come. Please, nobody leaving yet. This is a very special moment. I believe God's going to do some miracles today. Amen. But every person that needs a healing in your body, just stand across this altar, if you would, please. And I'm going to give this oil to the elders. And the Bible says, if there's any sick among you, let them pray the prayer of faith, anointing with oil. And we're going to do what the Bible says is to be done. If you would stand shoulder to shoulder, shoulder to shoulder. Don't get behind anybody or we won't know you're there. And we're going to believe, agree together today that these men that have been appointed in the church, using their faith by God's authority, are going to believe together and pray God would minister to you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Praise God. Praise God. All right, that's right. Good. Praise God. The Bible says the prayer of faith will heal the sick. I believe that scripture is true. I believe it's accurate. I think everybody's here that wants to be here. Glory to God. Glory to God. Can we Hey, church, look this way. Can we get conclusion out of our mind? And let's get the beginning of a miracle in our mind right now. Okay, I can see. I just got to work for a minute. Hang on a minute. Because in our minds, we're thinking, okay, it's getting near 12. We've got to go. We've got to do. No, it's getting near a miracle time for me. Hallelujah. It's getting near time for God to do something to break the chains, for God to just heal somebody. How many of you have had pain in your body, but God took it away? I mean, well, that's a great day, isn't it? I believe that God wants to do that for these. And you got to understand what I'm trying to do in this church. We're trying to build a spirit-filled church that wins the lost, that reaches the community, but we're building a family here. And I want to ask every one of you that are saved, you walk in faith, you pray, you believe that God heals, just like he said in the Bible, to get out of your seat. Come stand behind our brothers and sisters. The Bible says there's power in the prayer of the elders and there's power in agreement. Some things won't happen until we get together. And your faith is strong. We need your prayers. Would you come and pray for as long as you want, for as many as you want? And God's going to do a mighty miracle. Come, come. Folks, if you can bear with me for just a moment, once these folks have moved, I'll know what to do next. That's it. That's beautiful. What a response. Praise God. What a mighty response that is. I'm going to tell you, God will honor that. God will honor that kind of compassion and faith. Oh, praise God. Amen. You say, I can't even get to somebody. Well, lay hands on somebody in front of you. God called us to pray. This is the house of prayer. Miracles happen when people pray. Deliverance, help, rescue. Anything can happen. Oh, praise God. Oh, come on now. Let's do it. Let's pray together. In the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray for everybody online right now. I pray for every person that needs healing in their body, that you'll touch them right now. Touch their bodies. If you're watching online, I agree together with you that God will heal you, that God will minister to you right in your home, in the hospital, in the prison, on the road, wherever you're at. Let God heal you. God, make cancer go. God, make diabetes go. God, make addiction leave in the name of Jesus. Lord God, you're mighty in power. Do a miracle for somebody today in Jesus' name. Come on, lead up here. Come on.